Welcome to Fred Wings Podcast, where Smashville and Hockey Town collide. And now your hosts, Rhett and Ron White, and D-Law, Dan Lawless.
Welcome to Fred Wings Podcast, episode 90. So we probably will hit the magical 100 before the end of the season.
Anything could happen.
And during the playoffs. So our social media, Fred Wings Podcast on Facebook, Discord, Instagram, at Fred Wings Pod on X and YouTube. And don't forget to listen and follow us on Podbean. You should get notifications on Podbean when we go live. And our email is predwingspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to join the NHL Bracket Challenge, or if you already have one, you can join our Pred Wings Podcast League. I guess it would be a league or a group or something. The password for that is Pred Wings. That's capital P and a capital W. And the brackets lock at Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So get your brackets in now and see if you can beat the hosts. And before, I know we mentioned the fantasy hockey last week. I ended up winning the fantasy championship, but last week I couldn't put any of my players in. I couldn't change my players. Well, whatever I had in my lineup, it was stuck. So I don't know what happened. I couldn't change it back. So I probably would have won anyway. I don't know. Who knows? But it let me add and drop players.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything either. I don't know. It was frustrating.
I don't know if it was a setting, because my other league that we were in with only four teams, there's no playoffs in that. I could change my roster there. So I don't know if it was a setting. I'll have to go in and the settings and look it over carefully for next season, because it automatically renews. So make sure I change, see why it locked or whatever. But anyway, just a quick beer league minute. Not really a league, but I'm back. So if you've been following the podcast, you know I've been out with a fractured elbow. I got cleared to go back to work, and I got cleared to play goal. I don't know if I'll be playing forward anymore. I haven't really decided that yet, but as of now, I probably won't be at least until September for that. But I was able to play Friday night. There was a private invite-only type group. It's an over 50 group, but I'm obviously not over 50 yet. But goalies, they just want goalies because they're always looking for goalies. So I was able to hop in that for that. I didn't really play it all that bad. I actually made some good saves, but man, my conditioning is way off. So I got to work on that.
Start doing some push-ups, some sit-ups.
I can't even.
Why don't you go for a little jog around the block once in a while?
I might have to.
I mean, you live out in the sticks. I mean, you can run anywhere you want.
Not that bad.
Old Jed's house by the little, you know, the little red rock there by the corner.
I don't live in Nashville. But speaking of Nashville, we had one game. It was a Pittsburgh game. I was actually there for that game. Really meaningless for Nashville, except for if they would have won, they could have eliminated Pittsburgh. Obviously, it was not a meaningless game for Pittsburgh at the time. Preds dropped that one 4-2. There was a couple goals that Pittsburgh had thought they had scored, but there was goaltender interference. They were challenged, and they were correctly.
According to Dan, Ray Charles saw it.
They were correct. They were correct challenges. And they were disallowed, but the fans are a bunch of
morons
down there, like Jack Edwards.
It's not Jack Edwards.
I know it's not him. That's Taylor. But we'll get to the Edwards in a little bit. But yeah, they were like all crying because it wasn't goaltender interference. Well, it was the goaltender interference. You you can't impede the goaltender's ability to play the puck, and both of them, they did. So, I mean, it was kind of win there, but I had the last laugh running out of the building because, well,
he was fixing to get shanked in the middle of Pittsburgh.
I'll kind of hold us off because I don't want to spoil your recaps. So why don't you just roll into your recaps?
Well, at the time, the Red Wings needed to win out. And they had back-to-back against Montreal, a team they should beat and a team that I didn't think they would win back-to-back. First game they play at Little Caesars Arena. Montreal completely dominated the first period. Made Detroit look like school children. I mean, it was terrible. No compete. Again, it's like, who do we point the finger at for this? My thought is, you got to question the coach. I'm not saying fire him or get rid of him, but you got to question him. Figure out what his game plan is and see if that aligns with what we're doing now. But Montreal comes out and completely dominates the first period and the second period. So Detroit's looking at a 4-2 deficit going into the third period. And, again, Detroit just didn't look phenomenal. The one thing that was a huge bright spot, which we see again and again in these games that actually mean something. So these games mean something. They win. Their chances of making the playoffs is much better. Lucas Raymond is just a budding star. I mean, he is just aging so quickly, and he has shown up in the games that actually mean something. With 1:17 left in the third period, he scores a game-tying goal. DeBrincat scoring just before him to bring him within one, and Raymond just, you know, beautiful goal, empty net. I mean, just, it was textbook. It was just all around. The play was Perron's pass, Gostisbehere. He created that play. The puck's about to clear out of the blue line, and he jumps about, I don't know, seemed like 10 feet off the ground. It was probably only 6 inches, but, you know, something you don't see. But he jumps up, stops the puck from leaving the zone, and the rest is history. You know, then we go into overtime. The budding star seals the deal in overtime. Detroit comes out. They pull out the overtime victory, 5-4. You know, I'll take it. I was excited. Didn't necessarily care for the game, their style, but, you know, it was what it was. But, you know, then you got to look at Detroit goes into Montreal. You know, now we're going into their territory, and this game literally means everything at this point. Detroit needs Philadelphia to beat the Capitals in regulation, and Detroit needs to win. And they're in. What really stinks, and I'm going to go off topic here for a second, is Philadelphia had a goal called back for, I guess they lost sight of the puck. Or blew a quick whistle or something.
The ref blew the whistle because the goalie faked him. I don't want to steal your.
No, I mean, but a couple.
I was watching this game.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it live. I didn't see that part live.
I think it actually hit him. It might have hit him in the shoulder, but it almost looked like it hit him in the head. But he, like, put his arms, like, goalies kind of, like, to protect their puck in the chest. And the ref, he assumed, and there you go, assuming that the puck was in there. Meanwhile, it's up in the air, and then it lands out on the ice. So, yeah, that shouldn't have been whistled down.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it killed him because that would have been a 2-1 game going into the final minutes of the third period. So, you know, it coulda, shoulda, woulda. You know, I'll get into that in a second. But, you know, this is a must-win game. And, again, Detroit just comes out like they just don't want the game. Like, they just they couldn't figure it out. You know, Sider did get a goal to tie it up in the first period, 1-1. Not too bad. Lucas Raymond gets an assist. Dylan Larkin gets an assist. Raymond's just having a phenomenal year. But second period, again, right off the bat, Brendan Gallagher, Cole Caulfield, you know, easy goals. I mean, they weren't, like, terrible. Like, they could have been routine had the defense have been there to prevent 90% of the shots that happened before them. You know, we just had no back check, and we just left Lyon out to dry. Or no, this was Reimer. I apologize. We left Reimer. Reimer's usually good for one of those, you know, sloppy, embarrassing goals, and, you know, he didn't. But anyways, you know, another game where Detroit's just looking sloppy, you know, not looking good. Valeno scores to make it a 3-2 game, leaving the second period. Daniel Sprung comes through. He's been clutch for us this year. I know he hasn't played a lot of games, but it feels like when we need some pressure, some forecheck, we need some offense, and we just need to get a gritty goal, like from our deeper line, he's always been there.
Doing the gritty.
Yeah, the highlight of this game was definitely the David Perron goal with 5 seconds left to tie it to go into overtime. So it's a must-win game, and it's looking like Detroit's going to be knocked out. I mean, all
I just hope we can win a game.
I don't know if you can hear this, but I just want to play this recap. It's incredible.
Scramble, face off, comes back, quick shot.
Now,
I was watching this game and I was like, oh my God, they did it. They were down two goals. Well, actually, they were down four goals at one time. You were like, I'm not watching it.
My eyes were huge. My jaw was dropped. And I literally said what you just said. They did it. And before anything happens, so they go into overtime and it comes down to a shootout. Showtime seals the deal. And as soon as that game ended, as soon as that shootout was over, I switched over to the Capitals. It was just bad news. That's all I got to say. But before I turn it over, D-Law, I just want to say this, is that Larkin was really strong for his after post-game interview there. And I say that because he was asked some pretty difficult questions. And I think one of them, you could see that he became visibly upset at this question. But it's a question that makes sense. This woman reporter says, after a game like tonight, doesn't that make game 10, 41, 61 a little bit more important? And he looked away from his glare that he was kind of dazing off, not really focusing on anything. And when she asked that question, he peered up, looked at her, and just had this look of, like, disgust and anger. And I respect that. I respect that. However, that is the truth. That's the truth. You don't show up and beat a team like the Devils midway through the season. Yeah, that hurt you. That hurt you big time. You lose to Buffalo 8-2. That hurt you. And that's what happened. They have to be better. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in the offseason. We got a lot of things going. A lot of free agents. So we'll have to follow that.
And like a one point, actually not even 1.1. Well, yeah, because it would be 1 point, one win, 1 point, you know. And like I said, you know, earlier in the year, or you know, I think I said it a couple times during the season. Those games in October and November, they're not going to win you championships. They're not going to win you, you know, not much. But when you look back, if there's probably one game in October or November where you could have said, if we could have just got one more point. That's why every point's so different. And as long as, you know, talking about points, they need to fix these points, these overtime points. It's punishing.
This is your like kryptonite lately. I love it.
It punishes teams for winning and reinforces losing because teams like the Islanders in Washington, they got a negative goal differential. They have something like, I don't have the stat right in front of me, like 16 overtime in the column, overtime losses, which are, I think it's in the row column. So, I mean, and what it does is like the third period teams, like, you know, if it's tied game, they're like, they're kind of sit back and they're not going to go for it because they know, oh, we got a point coming up, especially late in the third period when it should be exciting. And so they kind of sit back, just wait for that overtime. And then, you know, and then you get the 3-on-3 overtime, which is exciting and everything.
They steal that extra point.
And then they get that point, but then you get the point, and then, you know, obviously you're going to go for it. You get the win, you get that extra point, but the other team gets a point, and you get a point for losing.
I think it's because it helps teams that might not win, but at least go into overtime and have some overtime losses, like in Arizona. You know, they're not a great team, or, you know, when they were struggling, they would get more points, so it would still keep them in the race longer.
And in the West, now it's like 100 points you have to make them. Plus, there is three teams in the West, Nashville being one of them, that, with 99 points. And it's like, I think Vegas only had 98 or 99. They had 98 because I think the Kings ended up with 97. I don't remember the exact point total, but they, those three teams, and the Predators could have easily, they finished with 99, I believe, because it's overtime, or no, it wasn't overtime. They didn't win, they lost in regulation against Pittsburgh, but they could have reached 100 points, and they really didn't go for it because they didn't really need the game. But all three of those teams could easily had 100 points. And it's just like, I remember when a day when 100 points was top of the division, you know, you lead the division leader.
That was like, yeah, like the best.
And,
like,
I mean, I know, I know the game's different, the game's changed, but it's, I don't know what the fix is as far as the points. I don't know, maybe strip the point away if you lose an overtime, because then...
Well, then you just don't give it to them.
Well, yeah, that's true. But then if you do that, then teams, then again, it'll also help the third period. I think they also did that because they wanted overtime and the 3-on-3, which is exciting and everything. The shootout, I can kind of...
I'd rather see a second 3-on-3 period.
But maybe, yeah, or maybe... I mean, or 4-on-4, maybe.
Or 4-on-4.
3-on-3 and then a 4-on-4. You know, because at the 3-on-3s, I mean, obviously, it's 3-on-3 is so exciting that I don't know how many shootouts there were in the season, but I bet you there's a lot of games that ended in the 3-on-3 just because of the talent out there and you know, possession.
The speed, the open ice that you have.
And... It would also, you know, make the late third periods more exciting because teams will want to go for it. Or maybe then again, if you add a 3 points, you know, add again a point if you win in regulation. But I don't know. Maybe then your points would go up to by 200. So
right.
I don't know.
It also created the controversy in Philadelphia because they needed to beat. So what Philly needed to have happen was Detroit needed to lose.
Philadelphia had to win in regulation, I believe.
And Detroit had to lose, correct.
Okay.
Well, Tortorella didn't realize that Detroit had won the game.
Yeah, they won
the goalie with like four or five minutes, 6 minutes.
Yeah, and it happened real time. It happened like within five minutes.
Like, I think it was like 3 minutes.
It's because of
the goalie.
The game
won one game. It was
yeah,
tied.
But I mean, like in real time, not game time. It was like around close within 5 to 10 minutes of each other, because the games. I don't know if they started at the same time. Their one was 7-1, 7-3. I'm not sure, but they were like. There was like 3 minutes left in one game and 6 minutes left in the other game, game time. So they were, you know, and by this time, Detroit had already lost Detroit had already tied it up.
So Detroit eliminated Philly, and they didn't realize that Detroit had eliminated them, so that their game meant nothing at that point. That game was completely meaningless to Philadelphia. But they pulled the goalie because they had to win in regulation. And I understand it. I get it. You know, you need a goal. No matter what happens, you need a goal. And he went for it.
Which I kind of like that. I mean, obviously, you know, with all the media, I'm surprised they didn't know, you know, because up in the booth and everything. But I kind of like that idea where they don't, I mean, I'm sure, and with, you know, the scores are being probably shown in the arenas and all that, and it's just kind of nice that they did. I don't know if they purposely didn't show that in that particular arena because of, you know, the what needs to be done. I don't know, because a lot of times the arenas
don't put it in,
but I like that idea that where they didn't know, so they just had wanted to concentrate on their game, so they don't like, oh, well, we already lost,
and you got to think Red Wings fans were thinking that they got snubbed. Like, oh, Tortorella did that on purpose. He screwed Detroit intentionally. And it's easy to think that, but it's like, no, that's not what happened. And who cares if he did? Because you know what? Like we had just talked about those games in November, those games in October, they matter. And this is why they matter. But yeah, it did. That was a heartbreaker to go out that way, that he pulled the goalie in a 1-1 game. But he needed a win. A tie did nothing for him. So I get the strategy. It sucks, but I get it.
Yeah, and you know, going back to the Monday game, the Red Wings were playing that night in Detroit. And I was walking out of the arena in Pittsburgh, you know, kind of dejected, you know, they lost. But, you know, we're still in the playoffs. So, I was kind of like, oh, at least we're in the playoffs. And I remember looking on the phone, seeing the scores, because I had already known Washington had won on that Monday. And then I saw, because the Detroit game went in overtime, and I looked in this phone, and I was like, oh, they just won in overtime. Or was Monday overtime? Monday was regulation, wasn't it? No, Monday, I swear Monday was overtime as well. In any case, I saw a score that Detroit won, so I yell out, you know, and just leaving the arena, well, at least Washington and Detroit won, and we're like, it didn't go over too well with the Penguins fans. They're like, that's not good. And I'm like, yeah, yes, it is. So, like I mentioned, it would have been nice for the Predators to eliminate Pittsburgh because of all the history and going back to 2017 still stings. But it was actually Detroit that eliminated them on Tuesday. So, along with other things, but you can say that they eliminated them because it. Two teams actually eliminated them, but it's nice. It's nice, and I'm sure Detroit fans have that. Would like to have that to say too, that they were at least part in eliminating the Penguins, because I think they have a little rivalry as well.
Yeah, I mean Detroit, they go back to 08-09, where you know Detroit was going for those back to back, and you know it was just a mad scramble in front of Fleury in 09, and
they ended up coming up with the victory. But yeah, it was definitely a back and forth, and you know, there's no love lost. I mean, if Pittsburgh gets knocked out, it doesn't bother me in the least bit.
I guess we can move on if we're done talking about this. I'm done. Oh, and before I move on, Jeremy Lasagna, we were talking about the Predators being a physical team, a hitting team. Jeremy Lasagna set the NHL single season hit record Monday with 383 hits in the season. So that I don't remember who it was that he broke. I can't remember who had it, but so at least he was able to get that record.
Well, that's good. I know how you like your records.
Well, we don't have very many of them, especially one that matters.
Hang on. Now I'm curious. You piqued my interest about who held the record, so now I'm going to look it up here.
And before we go into the playoff matchups and breakdowns, just want to mention, you know, the Sabres kind of had a disappointing season. And they fired Don Granato, and they have a little bit of a coaching carousel. I think they had, five coaches in 10 years or something like that. I don't remember the number now, but they seem like they have had quite a few coaches. So I don't know, you know, they haven't named the replacement for him. So I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting. I've heard Lindy Ruff's name thrown around, and apparently did some the players. I mean, obviously they're different players from when he was there, the way he left or got booted. But that was, I think, more of a management standpoint, and that's a totally different management now. But I'm wondering, you know, that could be. You know, maybe bring him back. I don't know. I'm wondering if they're going to wait until the playoffs are over to talk to some of these other. I don't know if they would, you know, on any of the teams. Probably wouldn't be a coach that's on any in the playoffs right now, unless it's a team that gets beat in the first round that was expected to win it all, like maybe Colorado or Dallas, but I just don't see
about Granato.
That's what I was telling you about, and he got fired.
Right. What about Bruce, what's his name?
Bruce Cassidy?
No, Boudreaux.
That?
You moron.
That's where that comment came from. That's who he was talking about.
Right, and then there's Claude Julien.
I just don't see. Maybe Brudeau would be a fit in Buffalo, but I don't know Claude Julien in Buffalo. But I'm wondering, we'll see what happens with Ruff. You know, I don't, maybe just somebody throwing a name out, and I don't know. Well, Lalonde probably, he's still under contract, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they're going to get rid of him yet.
I think next year is going to be another scapegoat year. I think he'll be gone if he doesn't make the playoffs next year. I could see Lalonde being shown the door.
So next year is his make or break year.
Yeah, because I mean, then we would have no different outcome.
But then again,
Blashill.
No, that it's like
kept him.
It just. Yeah, then you go back to that, you rebuild, and it's like, because you're going to a different coaching style or maybe similar. I don't, you know, I mean, as far as like similar style to, you know, whoever, if they do get rid of them, bring in somebody else, maybe they'll get somebody that's got the same similar style as Lalonde. But I don't know. I guess they got some good young players coming up. I don't know how ready they are. I mean, there's obviously There's a couple that are.
I think there's a couple that are pretty close. I mean, Edmonton restored a little hope. And I think Berger, going to give him another chance. Let him get a few more games under his belt. He'll be just fine as well.
I want to get into the playoffs a little bit here.
And just so you know, Jeremy Luzon holds the season record for hits, like you said. And last 3 years, it was Matt Martin. And then Mark Borowiecki.
Borowiecki. He was a Predator.
And then Matt Martin again. And then Cal Clutterbuck. I'll, I feel like we're talking about the Islanders lineup here.
Well, Clutterbuck was on the Wild, too, I believe.
He was.
So
that's
I don't know
what happened.
Okay. It was in Wild, because I don't think it. Well, the Islanders might have been a hitting team at that time, too. I don't know. Was he's got.
Well, he got one of the Islanders in 2014, 2015. But that's I was just giving you the update.
Okay, so that's cool. That wasn't aware of that. I didn't think to look into that anymore. But as far as the playoffs, I know some of them had already started. I really didn't get to see any this weekend. I was too busy scorekeeping an adult tournament, which was I'm kind of glad I wasn't playing in that one. On our playoff sheet, I did it back. I screwed it up, but let's start with the East. So the Rangers end up with the President's Trophy. So then, is there a jinx for that? I mentioned last show that their last cup win in '94. I think it was the last time the Rangers won. It was '94. And that year they won the President's Trophy as well, so maybe this is their year again. So maybe that's their formula. They have to win the President's Trophy. Who knows? I don't know. So you got the Rangers in Washington, who just barely snuck in. And they actually won that game on an empty net goals, as we mentioned earlier. And then you got Florida and Tampa Bay. That's in the East final. They kind of it's really intriguing the way they lined up, because Florida actually ended up Boston for some reason lost the last two games. They did beat Pittsburgh on the Saturday, but then they lost or did they lose? I know they lost their last game. I don't know if they had two after the Pittsburgh game, but they lost. It was Ottawa. And I think it was just the one game. They would have won that game or even a point. They would have clinched their division, and they couldn't do it. And like I mentioned last week, Ottawa and, Chicago and Columbus, they were the teams at the bottom and Montreal as well. And they found ways – somehow, I don't know how Ottawa beat Boston, but they did it, and, I guess they're playing for their job. So Florida was able to get the division, so they get to play Tampa Bay. And then you got Boston and Toronto, so that's another intriguing series. Some rivalry there, going back to the original six, plus, the last few years they've been playing each other, too. And then you got Carolina and the Islanders. And then in the West, Dallas and Vegas, which Vegas actually could have played Edmonton, I believe it was. I think they won their last game. But then you got, Vancouver and Nashville, Winnipeg, Colorado, and Winnipeg actually has home ice for that one. And then Edmonton and the Kings. And the Kings, they were, their last game was actually the last game of the year, regular season wise, for anybody, because that was the last game they started at 10:30, and all the other games were done by then. They were playing Chicago in LA, and they had a 3-1 lead going to third base. I was watching this game, and all they needed was a point at the time, and they actually blew the lead. They had a 3-1 lead going into third base, and Chicago came back. They actually took the lead 4-3, and were like, I thought they were done, and they ended up tying the game. The Kings had a 3-1 lead, and then Chicago came roaring back, took a 4-3 lead, and then our former Predator, Victor Arvidsson, he tied it up on a power play, and then the Kings ended up winning it, and well, they end up winning in overtime. But once Arvidsson tied it up, that clinched the third in the division, and they got to play Edmonton instead of Dallas. So that was a huge point for them. And just I the way they came back, I mean, I don't like the way they, you know, they had a 3-1 lead in the third period, and to let Chicago, I know Chicago's, they're going to be a scary team. They got some good young players, and I don't, and I think Bedard, he didn't even score in that game either. He had an assist, I believe. No, he didn't. He didn't have an assist in that game. So he had no points in that game. I just don't like, I mean, you know, it's the last game of the season. And I know in Chicago, they just want to win. And what they want to go, I want to win. But they enter the third period with 3-1 lead and then give up, you know, three goals. And they ended up, the Kings ended up tying in, winning it. But I just don't like, you know, what are they going to do in the playoffs against better teams? I mean, maybe they will be better. I don't know. So those are the matchups.
Obviously good enough, I guess, because I thought about that same question about Detroit.
Yeah. But, you know, and they, again, playoffs are different. You know, it's a different season, the season one and season two. So going, you know, so I got the matchup set. So, let's go back to East with our predictions.
I'm going to go Rangers over Washington. I'm going Florida over Tampa. I'm going Boston over Toronto. And I'm going to go Carolina over the Islanders. And I think the two series are probably the ones that I'm going to be watching for physicality is Florida and Boston's. So Florida and Tampa, Boston and Toronto. I think those games, I mean, you have Reeves on Toronto and Maroon now on Boston. You know, and then in Florida, you got obviously Tkachuk and Janot over on Tampa. I think they could, I think those will be some hard-hitting series.
And I got pretty much the same. I got the Rangers. I got Florida. I got Boston. And I picked the Islanders. I think they're a scary team. If they continue to play defense, I've watched them.
Well,
the last couple of games, I've definitely seen them play the Rangers. I know that's a rivalry, but they also have a rivalry with Carolina. The way I was watching, it's in against the Rangers especially, their defense, they really lock it down in close in the slot area. And that's where you're going to score in the playoffs. I mean, you can score from outside, especially if you get screens, and then that's, you know, that's where that comes in. But if they can keep that defensive style going, and Patrick Waugh's really got them going. I saw a stat. I didn't write it down as far as what he did in his the last since I think January.
Or he's created a culture.
Did he take over in January? Maybe it was. I don't remember exactly when he took over, but it's like a remarkable record since he's taken over. And when he took over, it, you know, most of the time when the new coach comes in, they'll win right off. They didn't win. I think they won. I think it took like three games in order for them to win. I'm not sure exactly how many games it took them, but they struggled. It was like 3-5 or something like that. And then they found that ignite. And then they had that nice little, right at the end of the season, they had that little win streak. I think they had a couple different win streaks. So yeah, I mean, Carolina's a good team. I don't really like predicting how many games, because, you know, it's kind of like a crapshoot. But if the Islanders and Carolina game, it probably will go six or seven games. I would not be surprised at all. So, you know, game one, you know, it's a huge game. You know, you always want to go on game, set the tone of the series, but it doesn't really, you know, I don't have the stat I mean right now, but how many teams, you know, they won game one. maybe it is a lot. Maybe as far as winning the series after you won game one, but you know, teams bounce back. So, so then the, in the West, let me. I'll start with the West first. So I got Dallas over Vegas. I know Vegas got all your players coming back from the salary cap, which I don't know if I want to go into that yet. Or again, I know we just beat that like down. And then this is kind of crazy, but I
coming back.
Yeah. For game one, and then
miraculous, huh?
Yeah, and then Nashville. I know it's kind of a stretch, but they're, you know, they're like they said earlier tonight in the pregame show. They're a loose team. Vancouver's kind of like they got all the pressure. You know, they could have had the number one seed in the West. I think they lost a couple down the stretch. And Dallas is too good for that. You know, they really locked it down late in the season with a little win streak. But Vancouver, they got all the pressure on them. I know they're a really good team. They're a really good defense. But Nashville's playing loose, and they don't really care the way they played the last two or three games as far as, you know, kind of losing. But they, you know, but they weren't even expecting to make the playoffs. Quite frankly, they were expected to be down with Arizona and Calgary, and then I got Winnipeg winning. Their Winnipeg's a really strong team. And they got home ice. I know Colorado's as well, a good team. This might go six or seven. And then Edmonton, LA. I just think Edmonton, they're just too strong. They rested some players. Their last game, I think they had all five players sitting out, which was very smart. And then, and then just the way that LA, the last couple of games, I was watching them, and they didn't, you know, they seems like Chicago. I mean, I know Chicago, a very young team, very, you know, fast and speedy and hung, you know, they don't have anything, really don't have anything to play for except for to win and their jobs. And I mean, obviously, a lot of these young players don't have to worry about that because they'll be back for next year. But to have a 3-1 lead going third period, the last game of the season, especially, you know, you're in the playoffs. It was just a matter of what position you're going to be in and who you're going to play. But at that, it really doesn't matter because you're eventually going to have to play, you know, the teams that you got to beat anyway. And they should have been concentrating on playoff style hockey. And I think if they would have done that, I'm not saying they wouldn't have gave up those three goals, but I just don't think, I mean, they might surprise me, but I think Edmonton, and I think it's fairly short. Because especially if Edmonton can take both their home games, it just, you know, Edmonton's they're just too good top to bottom. They're a very balanced team, depth team, kind of like Vegas. So it would have been nice to see Edmonton and Vegas, but I'm kind of glad Dallas Vegas might be a good series as well. I just think Dallas is too strong.
I'm gonna go Vegas. Obviously, they've got Mark Stone coming back, and you know, they just find a way to do it. They just find ways to win, and I'm gonna stick with Vegas. I think that one will go quite a distance. I'm also gonna go Nashville. I think Nashville can surprise people, like we just talked about. Lauzon has, you know, 383 hits this year. He's a hit leader. They've got guys that like to throw the body. That's what you need this time of year. So I'm going to go Nashville until they get a little bit more mature.
And I do have an update on that game. It's going on right now in Vancouver.
Still 1-0.
After first period, 1-0 Predators at Jason Zucker. I always thought Zucker, but the announcers were calling him Zucker. So.
Okay. Well, there we go. And then I'm going to go Colorado. I think Colorado, you know, obviously we – Nathan McKinnon, Cale Makar, Yeah, I'm going Colorado. And like you said, I'm going to Edmonton as well. I do think that the Kings snuck in. I think they've got a lot of potential, but I just don't think that this is that year for them.
Boston's
going to bounce Toronto. That's the thing I want to keep talking about, because you know what? Toronto's that big choke artist every single year. I feel like this is the same show over and over and over. Boston dominates, they beat Toronto, and then Boston gets beat in the second round. I think it's just on, like, last year on repeat.
Yeah, and watching that the Winnipeg Colorado game, just I was only able to see the last part of it, the third period. Wow. Buckle up, because this is going to be a wild ride. I mean, there was just like 12 goals in this game. And I mean, it was, oh, that's right. They scored one late when the goaltender pulled 13 goals. Yeah, that's right. So that's another thing. There has been, looking at the scores from yesterday, I didn't watch any of the games, so I don't know how it went, but this is a playoffs, and I don't know, you know, I know it's game ones. There were a lot of high-scoring games. And it's just like, where's this playoff hockey when 1-0, 2-1 games? I mean, it might be just because it's the first game, you know, early. Maybe we'll see it tighten up.
Like,
obviously,
it's still not checking like it used to.
And there is a lot of offensive players in the league too. So, but I don't know. You know, there's also a lot of good goaltending. I mean, not tonight, but it might just tighten up, you know, later in this round, and then obviously moving into round two and then the conference finals. So
I got to ask you a question, D-Law. I just thought of this. So you said that you don't like the fighting in hockey, so you take out the fights. Let's just say that. And now you're saying you don't like the scoring because the games are too much scoring.
Well, I didn't say. Well, I didn't say. I didn't say I didn't like the scoring. I just think, you know, it's playoff hockey is like defensive, you know, and I haven't really seen the games, a lot of the games yet, so I don't know, you know, what style, you know, how the games have been playing. You know, obviously it's going to be physical, especially with the Florida, Tampa Bay, and Boston, Toronto series. And I think the Rangers and Washington have that opportunity. They have a little history too. And Carolina Islanders, they might too, but I just don't think Carolina, they might be a physical, you know, hitting teams, but I don't think that is going to be physical. Is Florida, Tampa Bay, and, you know, because that's obviously a natural rivalry, you know, across state and everything. And they've had, I think they've had playoff series before, and maybe even last year, or did Tampa Bay make it last year? But, and, you know, and then in the West, it's just, I think it's going to be, other than Nashville, I think it's going to be more run and gun. Just looking at the teams, you know, Colorado got Speedy McKinnon, and Winnipeg's a speedy team, and Edmonton's got a speedy team. The Kings, they tend to, but I don't know if they really have a balanced attack. So, you know, it's going to be a fun round. Can't wait to sit down and actually watch some of these games. So, and I don't know if, you know, we're pretty much done with the, you know, some of the playoff talk. We can move on. Just want to, you know, we talked about Arizona last show. I saw their last game. It was kind of touching, and I don't. They had a little post game. Nobody wanted to leave. Kind of sad, but kind of, you know, it's like, yeah. But
of course, move on.
The Tucson is the AHL affiliate of the Coyotes. He is still going to be owned by Marullo, who just sold the Coyotes. And I've heard talks that he is going to move Tucson to the Mullet. They currently play in the Tucson Arena, which is 6,500, and the Mullet's 4,600. But they also have contract and Tucson.
There's got to be a contract with Mullet Arena that they have to fulfill. Hockey team.
Well, Mullet doesn't want, they don't, for some reason, they don't want them coming in, for some reason. And the Tucson Arena, apparently they still have 1 or 2 years left on their agreement. And apparently they didn't even want hockey because they had to have ice, obviously. But they didn't want, it's a, like a convention center arena type thing. And they didn't want, reading on this article that I read, I'm not sure where, can't remember where from who it was, it was online, and they didn't even want to bring in the hockey, and they don't seem to want the AHL team, but they have a contract.
They'll probably
at least two years. So that's an interesting development to keep an eye on as far as Tucson. Marullo, apparently he's done, he's broken contracts in the past, and one of them was with the Phoenix Coyotes. So, and also sounds like Utah is going to totally rebranding, obviously, with a new name, because they're keeping Marullo, the Coyotes brand, with Marullo, kind of like what they did with the Cleveland Browns with football. A kind of similar situation, but so it sounds like the Utah, I don't know if they're gonna like just dump the players. I mean, they got a really good lineup. They got some good young players. That would be pretty stupid of them from a hockey standpoint to do that.
Oh,
to
just yeah, get rid of, I wouldn't do that.
Because they want to change. They're it's basically a new team. They bought them. They're gonna rebrand. So it's the Coyotes, but it's not. They're gonna have their own name. They don't own the name, but you got some good young players, good something to build on. They're gonna be. I wouldn't even be surprised next year if they're right at the top in the top three of the division.
They could be.
They're very, very. You know, Josh Doan and. I can't Andrew. Think. Of, no, that's the Ducks. I'm blanking on some names right now, but
yeah,
they,
I know exactly. Clayton Keller.
Clayton Keller is one. There's a few of them, and then they got Connor Ingram, who's actually excited to play for Utah because he's from Canada, and he mentioned that, you know, as when they come down to Phoenix for the season after going back home, he would stop in Utah to stay on the way. So he's excited to play, and it's, you know, they got their goaltending there, so it's going to be interesting. They're going to stay in the Central Division, obviously. So, but yeah, we'll just have to see what's going, you know, what develops with the Tucson and then Marullo's got 5 years. The 5 year clock is ticking on if he to build a new arena, and then somehow they're going to give him the first right at a franchise. I know I touched on that last show. I'm not going there again. Other than the playoffs, touch on, I guess, the AHL, the Calder Cup playoffs.
It was a big win today.
So.
It meant nothing, but it was a big win for my heart.
It was actually a big game for the Griffins. I know they played a game. It was in Grand Rapids, wasn't it?
When, today?
Yes, that was in.
It was in.
That was in Grand Rapids.
It was in Grand Rapids, yes, it was.
Okay. So, yeah, I know it was pretty much meaningless for Milwaukee. They already had the morning lockdown, but it was it did have a meaning for the Griffins. I don't know if you're aware. I don't know if you're aware of the game. Milwaukee did strike first. It wasn't a name that we talked about a lot. Alex Campbell, and I just want to mention the goaltenders. You know, Grosnick played, probably saving Askarov for the playoffs. But Milwaukee does have a bye, first round bye. But the Griffins played Kosa, which that's their ace.
He's been playing pretty good for us.
Jonathan Berggren did have a penalty in this game. That's pretty much all. He didn't really have. Let's see what he had. He had three shots on goal. The Griffins came back. I think you talked about this guy some during the show, Joel Lesperance.
Yep.
Did I say his name right?
Lesperance.
Okay. He tied the game, and I know. I think you might have mentioned Zach Aston-Reese before.
I have.
I don't think he was in the Penguins organization. So they must have got him. But he might. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in Detroit next season. I don't know if he's ready. He's a good. And then your boy Carter Mazur.
I like him.
Or Mazur. He won in overtime. So it was a good win. He was the first star. So that was. That was a huge win for Grand Rapids, which they needed. And I think they got help from Rockford did win it overtime. The Griffins did clinch the second seed. So apparently they have home ice, but game one is in Rockford. I don't know. Not sure how they do this in AHL. Game one is in Rockford, and then game two and three are in Grand Rapids, and they go to Rock because it's a best of five game. And then, so they go to Rock for first, and then they go to Grand Rapids for two, and then they go back to Rockford, and then five, if necessary, back to Grand Rapids. So I don't know if I like that format, but I think they do it because of travel. And then, of course, Milwaukee's got to wait the Texas and Manitoba series. And that's all I have for the AHL.
That's all I got, too.
And let's see. So, actually, we had a couple picks last week as far as the two Montreal games. I got those both right. You were right on one and wrong on the other, and then we were both wrong on the Pittsburgh Nashville. So
Nashville's gonna win that.
I came close. You beat me. You edged me with the Predators side 42-41. I got you on the wing side 47-39. So at least I was 50% on both, and then overall I had 88-81. We'll see how our playoff predictions go. And see if who can pick that one right. It looks like
probably not me.
We're pretty much just picked the same teams, except for in the West. I think that's all I have for this week. I just want to make sure I almost forgot about the Jack Edwards. Good riddance, I guess you can say. Yeah, his career is ending. He's retiring. I don't know if they're. I think they.
News in the sports world.
I think they still do have the local TV in round one. Although I think they black it out. I don't know about in the local markets. So I think. I mean, he'll still be. I think he'll still have the playoffs, but he's going to be ending. And I just want him. I just want to play a couple of his stupid comments. I didn't really have a chance to really go through and put down a little montage, but
let's hear what you got.
I just want here's one from, I don't remember which one this is, but
in front, and the Bruins cleared out of the slot, machine does Bertuzzi. And meanwhile, Martineau gets a modest one for fighting while the Bruins are scoring.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to count this goal or not.
They should.
After the redirect and the left pad extended save by Swayman, all kinds of stuff was happening in the Bruin crease.
And TV viewers wondered if Rod Brindamore's eyes were going to pop out of his head. McAvoy is in the box. So there's no penalty on Martineau. Ha! 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 That's a good one.
You moron.
Yeah, like what?
I don't understand. I mean,
he's the homer of the century award right there.
And that play, I mean, I don't know why he thought there should have been a goal, because, I mean, obviously there was a stoppage. That was a couple years ago, I believe. Yeah, and then
the team in a couple years.
Oh, and then there's this one that he likes to I don't have anything to say. It's a loss for words.
On him. Verhaeghe wins the series for Florida, and this joyride ends in a Hindenburg-like ending.
That might have been last year. I don't remember.
This guy, he's just obnoxious.
And then I'm pretty sure we must have talked about this one. This was just
listed at 238 pounds. That was day one of training camp. I got a feeling he's had a few more pizzas between then and now.
Yeah, that's before pregame.
Yeah, right. Fasting. Inadvertent fasting for Pat Maroon is like 4 hours without a meal. But hey, three cups in a row, who can argue with his formula?
Moron.
Yeah, now he's got to announce him.
That's gonna be an interesting I wonder if he'll get too many interviews after that. Maybe you just kind of like get away with it, you know, kind of move on.
Oh, yeah.
That was a couple of years ago, I believe. Or was it last year? That was last year. Okay.
He's a tool.
Oh, well, at least the only thing that kind of is bad about not having him in the league anymore is we won't have any more comments like with
your moron.
Right.
With him. You know, we'll have to find somebody else to get our material. All right. So, and before we leave, just want to update. It looks like Vancouver has tied it up. Is Elias Lindholm at the goal? That was early in the second period. So, not a very good start for the second period. So, well, we'll see what they can do in the third. I think the game. It's still halfway through the second, so we'll just have to wait and see what they can do the rest of this period. And I think that's about it for this week. And I think we're going to be off next Sunday.
Yeah, that's me. I'm out of the state.
So maybe late next week, or in 2 weeks on the 5th of May. So we'll keep you posted. We'll keep you posted, and you can always follow us on Podbean to get the notifications for our live shows. And you can follow us on our social media, Pride Wings Podcast, on Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X, and YouTube. We're at Pride Wings Pod. And our email is PrideWingsPodcast@gmail.com. Oh, and we're inching closer and closer to that magical century mark. Probably be sometime in the playoffs edition. Thanks again for tuning in to the Pride Wings Podcast.
Good night, Hockey Town.
See ya, Smashville.